20 years ago, just about this time, it was a Sunday morning, and I was preparing as normal for the service. I was at home at this point, and we were ready, getting ready to come to church that morning. Got a phone call, unusual that early to get a phone call, and on the other end of the line was my brother Jim, Evangelist Jim Van Gelderen. And I knew he had been with my father down in Atlanta, Georgia. My dad was preaching a missions conference. And he choked out the words, "Dad's with the Lord." Couldn't say anything else. As it slowly dawned upon me, I had agony, I had disbelief. I screamed out, I have to admit, hit the counter. I can't believe he's gone. He was only 72. I loved him dearly. Oh, what an enemy death was for a few moments that morning. Now, I knew my father was with the Lord. If anyone was prepared, he certainly was. But he was gone from here. And I remember coming to the church and telling the choir and then the orchestra as we prepared for the service. My dad had just been in the service a week before. Death. It was really hard to come to grips with the reality of death. Well, this is exactly what faced those disciples there that weekend. We call Easter weekend, but it was a very long few days. They had seen the storm clouds of opposition coming as the leadership of the Jews had come more and more in their desire to have him executed. And of course, this was all the divine plan. And the Lord Jesus had made it very clear to them, and yet they had not been willing to accept it. And then he was apprehended. Then he was taken to the top of Mount Moriah, the place that Abraham attempted to sacrifice his son, but God delivered him. There at that place, Jesus Christ was crucified. The world went dark for 3 hours, but so did the souls of those disciples as they realized the one that they had walked with, talked with, who had loved them unconditionally, who had done so many miracles, who had even brought the dead to life, this one that was more dear than life to them, they had run from, and then he had died. I cannot imagine and cannot even begin to describe the despair that was in the upper room there as they hid for fear of the Jewish leadership. Dark days. And then, that Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene went to the little garden below the hill of Golgotha just to come to the tomb of Jesus. When she got there, she found something she did not expect. A great earthquake occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Mary Magdalene did just that right away. It was a mile from where she was all the way to the upper room. But she went there quickly. And breathlessly, I'm sure, she enters that upper room there that morning and she tells the men, "He is not there. He is risen." Well, they did not believe her. Two of them at least came, Peter and John. They came that long distance, and sure enough, it was just as she told them. The rock was pulled aside, and it would take several men to be able to do that. And they looked in. And there were the linen clothes, exactly like they were wrapped about him with all the ointments. It would be impossible for someone to come out of that without totally unwrapping it all, but it was there just as it had been as he was bound for his burial. John went all the way in. Peter looked in. And they came back amazed. But then more reports came. The women, as they were on the way back to the upper room, Jesus met with them, the other women that were with Mary Magdalene. And then two of the disciples that were not part of the 12, Cleopas and another disciple, had gone home that night to their home in Emmaus. And on the road, Jesus met them. And he opened their eyes as he broke bread with them, and they realized that this was the risen Son of God, and their hearts burned within them, and with all the strength in them, they ran all the way back to Jerusalem and told the disciples. But I tell you what, death is an enemy. You know, somebody had told me my dad was alive, I couldn't have believed him, you know. It's something that there's just no coming back. And they were just stunned. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know how to react. And then God graciously met with Peter. And then he finally comes in after meeting with those two men on the road to Emmaus. He comes right through the door and appears to the disciples. And he upbraids them for their unbelief. Now, friends, in the few moments as we have together here to look at the Word of God for this service, can we put ourselves in the place of the disciples? We look at them and say, why couldn't you believe? And yet, in the heart of every human being is the propensity not to believe, not to embrace anything that is outside of our realm of experience. Now, we're assembled here today. I would say that almost everyone in this building today is very much aware of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're here to celebrate that to one extent or another. And yet, I would like to submit to you to ask yourself the question, do I really believe it? Do I believe it in the way that caused the disciples and all of those early Christians to sacrifice their lives to get the news about it around the world? Has it so come to grips in your heart that it has given you confidence for your eternal destiny? Has the purpose of it gripped you, or is it more still sort of the truth of Christianity that you appreciate, you love Easter, and you know that Christ is important, but maybe not come to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ was a historical figure, the Son of God, the creator of the world that became a man. He lived 33 years. He died, fully died, was buried, and he rose again, which is the very center of all human history. So I would ask you to be honest with yourself this morning. And every person here is a genuine believer who can honestly say, yes, I've come to grips with the resurrection and what it means to me. What's it meaning to you right now? Is the new life in Christ the reality of your life? Three things quickly this morning I want to talk about. Number one, and that is that we really do need to understand the resurrection if we are going to be fully impacted by it. You see, the disciples actually had been taught about this. Mark chapter 9, verse 31, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Mark chapter 10, verse 34, a little later after he had taught them that, he said, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. But they didn't get it. You know, it's told us that 15,000 people heard Lincoln's historic Gettysburg Address. And only a handful got it. They were so aware of the crowd, the circumstances of what had happened there at Gettysburg, that when he gave that very important address, almost no one got it. We in history get it, but they didn't get it. You know, it is really possible, folks, just like with the disciples, you can hear something over and over and not get it. You've got to understand that Jesus Christ is God. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. This is an amazing thing that the very Creator, Colossians 1 makes that very clear, the Creator who formed every element, every atom, every part of this universe, was willing, because of our desperate need, because of our sin, was willing, because He loved us and created us in His image, to come and take our place on the cross, the God-man becoming fully a man, going through all that men go through, yet His Spirit was divine, forever united with us. And my friends, the resurrection is about the fact that you and I have a real need. God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, who is on the throne, who didn't need to do anything, out of love, came to die for us. That's why the resurrection is so vital. It proves what Jesus Christ in His love did for us. You know, we need to understand that. But I'm afraid not only do we not let it really sink in, but I think we're just so distracted in our day. The disciples, even when He was about to ascend, after they had seen all that He had done, when they came together, they again asked Him, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom?" Now, they were understanding the spiritual truths, but their main goal was, we want Rome off our back. Peter wanted to be prime minister. John wanted to be the minister of defense. I don't know. But they were all excited about lots of earthy things. In the history of the world, there's never been a culture so distracted by the here and now. We're connected, but what are we connected with? I'm telling you, folks, how long has it been since you really sat down and thought soberly and seriously? How long has it been that you've been not afraid to think about eternity, to think about your mortality, to think about what really is important in life? How often do you hear people say, "Phew, I don't know where this last year went"? Many of you would say, "I don't know where the last decade went." Some of you say, "I don't know where my life went." It goes fast, doesn't it? One thing to the next thing. One of the great important events of our history was when the great Apollo rocket went to the moon. And a family was all huddled around watching this event, and they couldn't wait till that historic step was taken. And right at the breathtaking moment, the little kindergarten daughter comes up and says to the family, "I want to see Howdy Doody." You don't know what Howdy Doody is. This is a little old of an illustration. This is important, folks. Your eternity. God, man, Jesus Christ. What He did for us. Who could I say respectfully, and I'm including myself, how often do we just get caught up with howdy doody? Things don't really matter. Some of you ladies right now are focused on your ham that might burn if I go too long. I don't know if you can cook a ham that long, but whatever. You know what I'm saying. You know, you're thinking about all kinds of things. We're a very distracted people. Aren't you thankful for a day we can stop and think about Jesus? You need to understand. Jesus, the Son of God, He rose from the grave, and He did it for you, and He did it for me. Folks, there is nothing that any man could ever get up and talk about that's more important than what I'm talking about. All the wars of history, all the scientific advances, nothing compares with eternity and the absolute precious nature of your life. Death has been conquered. We need to understand it. Number two, we need to agree with it. You know, as I said, most everybody here has some form of understanding about the resurrection. He wouldn't be here. But it's another thing to personalize it and say, not only do I see the importance of it, but I agree with the fact that it's important for me. Not for history, not for the beginning of Christianity or Christendom, but the resurrection is all about me, personally, me and God. You see, until you come to an agreement about the need for the resurrection, it will only be a historical fact, if that. My friends, we do need to understand that from the Garden of Eden on, man has been cut off from God because of our sin. You look around the world. I was just thinking about this morning when I was reading a report on what's happening in South Sudan. And I'm just thinking, it's incredible the depravity of man around the world. And we're seeing that becoming more and more apparent right here in the United States of America. Folks, we can fool ourselves and we can think everything's hunky-dory and we can just go through life and enjoy the different things and just forget the fact that this planet is in trouble. It's a rebel planet against God. And my friends, God is not mocked. I'm telling you, God loves us. And that's what the resurrection is all about. You see, you need to agree that I got to stop and I got to think about this and I got to get a hold of this because this has everything to do about my life now and my life forever. And until you come to that point, it just goes over your head. You see, Jesus Christ did come out of the grave. And when he appeared unto the 11 there in that Mark 16 account, he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And my friends, we've all heard the reports, but do you believe? You see, the resurrection will become very precious to you when you realize that without God, there is no hope. Ever felt hopeless? Ever felt alone? Ever felt empty? If you're honest, you have. Ever woken up at 2 a.m. in the morning and wondered what life was all about? Ever find yourself escaping with things you know that are not good for you because you're having a hard time handling life? Sure, everybody here has. This is the reality of it all. But my friends, 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked out of that grave in his own power. Because on the cross of Calvary, you and I were personally placed into Jesus by the will of the Father. And the triune God had made the commitment because of their love for you, you individually, that Jesus would go through the awful, horrible torture of hell forever for every one of us. On that awful 3-hour period of time, and I don't know how all of it worked there on the cross, but the world went dark, no one could move, and then when Jesus Christ cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at that moment God the Father, for the first time and the only time in all of history, turned his back on the Son because he saw me there, and he saw you there, and all of our wicked sin was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. Friends, we've got to agree that that's true. And we've got to realize what it means for us. I got good news. You and I died 2,000 years ago. That's what it says. We were in Christ when he died and paid the judgment for our sins. We were in him in his burial as the Father had put us in him. And so therefore, his resurrection has become our resurrection. You see, eternal life is about the life that Jesus Christ purchased for you and for me on the cross. You need to get a hold of that. Not just understand it, but you need to agree, this is important to me. This is not for my neighbor. This is not just for my family. I must personally stop my life and ask myself, what am I going to do with this? I've got to get a hold of the fact this is important. Oh, may God not abrade us for unbelief. Christian, if you truly have been saved, how important is it to you? That newness of life ought to be the life you're living all the time. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ, that life of victory is yours, and this world needs to see that reality. Number one, you got to understand. You got to stop and let the truth by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, get in your heart and mind. But number two, in your heart, you've got to say, this is for me. This is what I've got to come to grips with. I can't avoid this. I got to agree that this is important. Third point, you need to trust in the work of God that brought about the resurrection for your personal salvation. You must trust in the truth of Christ's resurrection. My friends, there's something that we must talk about. It's the part of Easter that often is not talked. You see, when Christ died, I've already mentioned it, he paid the penalty for our sin. Please get this. Either you will pay for the penalty of your sin, or accept the fact that Jesus already did, but it's got to be paid for. God's just. He's absolutely holy. He will not overlook sin. And my friends, you may be a very moral type person, but if you're honest, you know that you have committed sin. I have committed sin. I deserve God's judgment. You deserve God's judgment. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we've got to understand that there is a very definite penalty for our sin. And the proof of it is Jesus already paid for it. You say, how could a loving God send people to hell? My friends, he is a loving God because he died so you don't have to. There was a man who was fascinated by volcanoes. He went to Iceland to see an active volcano, and his guide told him, be very careful, but he wanted to crawl up to the edge to see what was going on. And sure enough, right when he crawled up to the edge, the earth shook and he fell into it. Thankfully, there was a lava flow that had hardened just below him. His foot got caught in that, and he's hanging over the precipice. He is literally looking down into fire and brimstone. He is screaming out. It was a terrible reality. He was hanging over that awful abyss. Realized that any moment, the next time the earth quaked, he would be headed right into that fiery hole. Help, help, help! He shrieked. He said, I had nothing to rely upon but the mercy of heaven. I prayed to God as I never prayed before for the forgiveness of sins that they might not follow me to judgment. And as rocks continued to come down, the guide heard him. He said, I warned you. He said, you did, but forgive me and save me, for I am perishing. That's a sobering illustration. But my friends, it has appropriateness. Jesus Christ would never have come and died if your judgment wasn't that major. And let me just say this. If you've never come to your peace with God through Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted him as your personal Savior, may I say this carefully and reverently? You're hanging over the precipice of eternal judgment. That's what Jesus talked about 20 times more than heaven when he was here on this earth. This is not comfortable. I'd like to leave it out, but I can tell you right now, it's sometimes very hard to really understand and agree and know you need to trust Christ if you don't get a hold of what the cost is if you don't. You can go right through life depending upon your works, depending upon your religious rituals, and never have put your faith alone in the finished work of Christ, and my friends, you'll be on your own in eternity. And if your name is not found written in the book of life, you are cast forever into the lake of fire. See, that's hard truth, Pastor. That's exactly what the Word of God says. That's the message of Easter. But the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to leave here this morning having any doubt whatsoever that you're a child of God and that what Christ did for you is yours and that the righteousness of Christ will become your righteousness, that your sins will be fully forgiven, and that you will be given eternal life. That is what God promises. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want to give you a verse. And this is where I want us to finally focus. Romans 10:9. Now listen closely. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. You've got to be willing to be definite, to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, who he said he is, and believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him from the dead, and the Bible says, you will be saved from wrath forever. Boy, that's good news. Didn't ask you to go do some great exploit. Didn't ask you to be a perfect person. You couldn't make that. That's why some of you are under such pressure. You know you can't make enough goodness. But you just need to trust him. We all know the story of the Titanic. Several years after the Titanic went down, a young Scotchman came to a meeting in Canada and gave this testimony. He said, "I was drifting alone on a spar that awful night, and the tide brought a man named John Harper right next to me. He said, 'Man, are you saved?' 'No,' I said, 'I'm not.' He replied, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.' And then he drifted away from him, that awful, murky, cold darkness. The waves bore him away, but strange to say, brought him back a little later, and he said, 'Mon, are you saved now?' 'No,' I said, 'I cannot honestly say that I am.' He said unto him again, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.' And then I saw him go down. And there alone in the night, with 2 miles of water under me, he gives the testimony, 'I believed.' He said, 'I was John Harper's last convert.' John Harper knew he was saved. Instead of worrying about his life, for several hours, he paddled from one person to the next, quoting Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Now, friends, we're not paddling on a cold North Atlantic Ocean right now. But could I ask you for just a moment to be that vulnerable? Folks, you're important. You're so important. Jesus died for you. That's what the resurrection is all about. And really, we're all paddling on the sea of life, and it won't be long, and we will go down. And I don't mean to be morbid. I'm just wanting us to stop our distracted, fast-paced lane through life. You're here because you have respect for Jesus Christ. You have respect for the resurrection. Do you understand? Do you understand what it means that God came to this earth, died for you, paid the penalty for your entire sin, won the victory for you, and proved it through the resurrection? Do you understand that? Number two, are you willing to agree, I need that? See, when you come to agree with, wow, I can't make it myself, I'm foolish to think I can be religious enough, I've got to not let human philosophy dupe me right now, I know down in my heart of hearts, I've got a conscience, I know I need God. If you're willing to agree of the importance of the resurrection, then number three, would you just trust him? I was with a sweet lady yesterday after the service, and we talked about it. And she says, "You know, in my heart, I think I do believe. What do I do?" And I said, "Would you just trust him?" And she sweetly prayed in my hearing. She confessed the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And she said, "I didn't expect this was going to happen when I came." But she was so happy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you'd get it settled today? Jesus loves you. That is a great message. Put the pride aside. Put all the distractions aside. Hopefully your ham will be okay. Let's get this matter settled. Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and it matters. Let's bow for prayer.